Welcome to another episode of the Wombles Had a Dream podcast. My name is Lee Finch, and as ever, I'm going to be joined by Danny Baker. If I sound a bit funny, it's because I had a tooth out during the week, and my sinuses now are all screwed.
So. And you're from Southend, yeah?
Well, I'm Essex, I mean that. London born. I was born in Barking, actually. Same hospital as John Terry and Bobby Moore. Two class
centre-backs. Going to link my thing from Barking?
Yeah.
7 a.m. in the morning.
Grew up in Essex, lived in Wimbledon 10 years, came down. Do you know what I mean? Took over Wimbledon, run the gaff for a little while.
And they think there's a war in Ukraine, don't they?
Yeah. I left Wimbledon in absolute pieces, mate. When I left, the girls' hearts were all in pieces.
And they haven't recovered, have they?
No, still haven't.
Poonanos had to close down, didn't it, because of you?
Oh, yeah, it turned into a table tennis bar. Also, what is that with that at the moment? Turning bars.
That's what happened. That's what, when you move out of places like Wimbledon, people stop going clubbing and take up ping pong.
But then, why is it when people have to drink nowadays? I think it's the youngsters nowadays. I used to like going to a spit and sawdust pub.
Of course you did.
Right? Bit of food. Bit
dog and handgun.
Well, walkabout in Wimbledon used to be classic. Sunday, we do, what's it called? Snake bite Sundays. So you drink loads of snake bite, you end up throwing it up, and you end up throwing up a load of blackcurrant, kind of, so it looked rank. And
I just remember the floor there being quite sticky.
Yeah, well, that's when you know it's a good place as well.
Okay.
And nowadays, you have to go play table tennis, or you have to play darts, or you have to play, like, you have to do an event so you can drink. It's a bit annoying to me. Anyway, how are you? Anyway, you all right?
I'm excellent, mate. It's been an eventful week. It's been a good week. Been chatting to the kids at school. So I've got two different kind of conversations we can go with our beginning bit. We can either go sort of serious sport related, or we can go ridiculous conversation that I've had with the kids this week. Which way do you want to go?
Whatever you want, mate.
Listen, you're the one who can't speak properly. Which way do you want to go?
I don't mind. Seriously, you pick. To be fair.
Heads or tails?
Tails.
Wrong. It landed on the edge. Oh. Right, we'll go serious. So, I was talking to the kids about the NFL this week, and I know you don't like the NFL, but they do the All-Star Games, right? Now, I don't know if you've watched the All-Star Games or anything like that. It is a total nonsense. The guys are in bibs. No one cares. So the question is, and I don't know the last one, are testimonials dead? Is there a point in it? And if there is a point, should we be thinking about doing, like, the best two teams in League Two, North versus South or something like that?
Testimonials kind of died when footballers started earning too much money.
Big time.
Because testimonials...
When's the last one? I can't
think.
We had
Simon Bassey played West Ham.
But I don't remember, honestly, anybody. I mean, maybe...
And Ashley Bates deserves a...
Yeah,
that
was actually one of the bizarre things my dad was talking about testimonials. Like, Paige must have been a while. But in terms of it used to be like, you know, we'd have Alan Cork or whatever it was, and you have Premier League player. But I don't know any Premier League, mind you, I don't know many Premier League players who've been at a club 10 years.
10 years, that's the problem nowadays as well. But yeah, it used to be that a player would be at a club for 10 years, he'd stay there, he'd earn good money, but not great money. And then I think as they started earning more money, if you've been at the club for 10 years, that would then go to charity. So if you're a Premier League player on 100 grand a week and you've been at a club 10 years, there's no point in you taking all the income and then having it for yourself because you're earning enough. And it used to go to charity. But I don't think nowadays players have been or...
I don't know. I genuinely don't know. Because obviously you've got the soccer, which is hard to watch as it is. And obviously we've got the event coming up, MC Harvey's team versus another team, I think it is. But I don't know a genuine testimonial.
I'd be happy for them to scrap the charity shield.
Okay.
And play an all-star game. Like North v South or something.
Do you think the charity shield's dead in the water a bit?
Yeah, a little bit.
Does it have any...
Because it's the same teams every year. You're not going to get, like, Wimbledon versus Liverpool again, like when we won the FA Cup and then Liverpool won the league, or Man U win the league and Leicester won the FA Cup, or, do you know what I mean, Wigan. Nowadays, it's Man City versus Liverpool, Man City versus... Which we see hundreds of them games now throughout the season. And then we have to have the stupid pre-season tours where they all have to play each other now in America or in Thailand or Asia or somewhere like that, what makes me laugh about football nowadays is with regards to, like, Jurgen Klopp always moaning there's too many games. And then after the season finishes, they go off on a post-season tour and then they have their pre-season tour. Do you know what I mean? It's just like, well, don't do it.
I mean, the thing with...
I'd have an all-star game. I'd like to see, like, North versus South, so...
But would you actually watch it? That's part one. And part two, what's in it for the players? Like, what is the point about? I mean, you do the PFA Player of the Year award, right? And everyone goes, well done, you're left back. And they do a League One team, a League Two team, right? As in the squad.
Yeah.
But they don't play.
I think players would care more about a All-Star game than the Charity Shield. The problem is you ain't going to have teams going, yeah, you can have Erling Haaland when we're just about to start a season. He gets injured by some git from, like,
And this is the problem, because
do the players care? I don't think players care about anything anymore other than their wallets.
Because the NFL do it right, where they have, if you're in the Super Bowl, you can't do it. But everyone else, they have like a coach and a coach. They pick their teams. It's like this conference versus that conference. But the game itself is a total farce. Like, no one cares.
Football? What about a football one? So you have, say, Premier League down to the League Two, and then you get to pick like two best players from the Premier League, two for Championship, blah blah blah.
But again, why would you do it though?
And then you've got like our player, say for example, Armani Little playing next to Steven Gerrard.
But why though? Why would you do it? Why would anyone
you
want
wouldn't?
That?
You're just asking a question. What would you rather see?
That's what I'm saying.
I'd
don't
rather
know.
Not see any of it, to be fair. But football's got that way now, where in English football. Is that it's all about money. It's not about trophies anymore. Teams don't care. It's you look at the Premiership now and people are like, oh, we got to finish fourth. It's like Arsenal just woken up now because they might have a chance of winning a trophy. Spurs are never going to win a trophy, which is hilarious when they really want to win one.
Yeah.
And then other teams are just like, I just want to finish fourth. I want to finish fourth against the Champions League, which it's not about. Why would you care about winning the Premier? Like, people talk about Harry Kane. And if he doesn't leave Spurs, he might never win a trophy. And now talking about his accolades of being better than winning trophies, which, because they're individual like achievements. For me, as a footballer, like, when I was growing up and I wanted to be a footballer, it was about winning the Premier League. It was winning the Champions League. It was winning, you know, when you play football as a kid, you want to win, you want to get to a cup final and win that cup.
So if you was a kid, if you were, and again, maybe it's different for us, right? But if you're a 15-year-old kid right now, and they were like, right, which of these things is more important? Winning the FA Cup, winning the League Cup, or playing in the Champions League, i.e. finish fourth, do the qualifier or whatever, win the League Cup at Wembley, or win the FA Cup, what order would you put them?
I think any of them would say none of them. You know what they put their order in?
What?
They want a Lamborghini, they want a big house, and they want... an attractive partner.
Don't you feel that? No, I don't. Surely people give a monkeys about playing in the, like, Champions League is the ultimate. Surely, like, people go, I want to play. And again, you can probably tell.
I think Ayobasau has answered your question.
But it's a different one in terms of he's not going to be in a team that's going to compete for the League Cup final.
But he could have gone to a team in the higher championships and gone. Look at me, like, and
but
see
could
what
he have
does,
though? That's what we don't know.
Well,
we don't know
but
who's
now
coming.
He's chose to go to Qatar and earn between 20 and 40 grand a week. Do you know what I mean? Playing in empty stadiums, as we saw the other day when he scored his first goal.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? He's gone there for the money, and I don't think he's gone there for his career. I think he's gone there because he's going to fill his pockets, and his family are probably going to be happier out there, which is good for him. But I think footballers nowadays, they don't look at what they could win or where they could play or what they could do. I think it's different abroad. I really do. But I think nowadays...
In terms of... What do you mean? What do you mean by that?
Well, I watch a lot of German football. And
not
German
your fault.
Mate, it's the best. I'd recommend it to everyone. Go out to Germany. Go watch a game in Germany. It is better than anything in England.
They certainly have made it better for the spectator.
The players go over to the fans at the end of the game. And they cheer, and they, do you know what I mean? They sit there. If they lose, they have to go over. None of this going down the tunnel if you've lost and stuff. The fans, what I like about Germany as well is, we'll come about Orient later, but in German football, there's two away sections. So you
is
got
it
the away,
really?
Yeah, you've got the away section for all the nutters who
your
go
ultras.
There, the ultras, all wearing the same colours, balaclava sometimes, flares, flags. They
what,
don't
long
really,
trousers?
Yeah. Well, it's just... They're a bit behind, aren't they, the Germans? But they don't care if they're watching the game or not. They're just there to make an atmosphere. They bang drums. There's like loads of singing and chanting. Then next to that is more the people that want to sit or want to stand but watch the game as well. They've got their families, they're elder statesmen of the club and stuff like that. If you look at a German football game, watch, there'll be a big away section. But the ultras being one, and then the other fans are being the other. So there's none of that, you know, like when you go to the away game and you go to the back, and there's all the
someone standing there going, "Can you sit down?"
I'm trying to sit here. It's like, yeah, well, you had all the room to sit in the front. Well, this is my seat, kind of thing. That's why I think a lot of the clubs nowadays Orient did it as well. It was unreserved seating.
Yeah, then that's 100% what they should do for particularly away games. It's like just if,
well,
and again,
well,
it's,
I think
it's,
we should talk about that a bit later when we talk about ticketing
right,
and stuff.
not
Like
that,
that.
is it?
I don't want to go over it now, but yeah,
No, I'm such a...
I just think, yeah, I think in England nowadays, unfortunately, there's players who care more about earning money, even at our level, even at non-league level, than playing higher level. That's why you've got people still playing non-league now, and they won't step up to full-time because they're earning too much money in non-league, and they don't, they'll have their job, and they don't have to play.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway, what was the other one?
Oh, the other one was about sandwiches, but don't worry, we don't want to go into that.
What do you mean, sandwiches? I love sandwiches.
Well, the question was, one of the boys said, "Mr. Baker, sir," which I obviously appreciated all the time. And he was like, if there was only four sandwiches left on the planet that everyone had to eat for the rest of all time, what four are you picking? And I obviously went, well, straight away, you've got to break it down into subsections. And he went, correct. And I went, so you need a breakfast kind
How
of
old is this
sandwich.
kid?
Oh, 11. Absolute legend he is. He
Why is
went,
he
right.
thinking about this at 11?
He's an 11-year-old kid, mate. We have loads of random chats. We had a random chat about, look, does anyone actually like skateboarding? Again, I don't know. It was fantastic. The conversation was exceptional. And driving to an away football match, all sorts of chat comes up. But so the idea was, I said, you've obviously got to break it down into sections. And he said he agreed. And I said, you've got to have a breakfast-type sandwich. You've got to have a kids-type sandwich. I said, realistically, you want a classic sandwich, and then you've got to look after all the sensitive ones who are lactose-free, gluten-free, and that nonsense. And that was and it led to exciting conversation about the four last sandwiches on Earth, which I thought
Are
was
you
excellent.
ketchup or brown sauce on?
Ketchup.
Yeah, on
So for
bacon.
me, I went sausage with ketchup
No,
as my breakfast sandwich.
brown sauce. Anyway,
All
we're
right.
going. This is like another podcast should be doing this.
Well, I did say that. We'll ask everyone. We'll come back to it.
You've ruined the podcast for me now.
No, I haven't. I have. And you said, what was the other one? I said sandwiches, and you asked me to elaborate.
We're delving on other. Yeah.
Right. Well, I'll tell you what then. Next week, I'm going to ask you about the sandwiches.
Let's get back to the smart stuff. But it's brown sauce, or sausage, ketchup, and bacon. Anyway,
wow.
Let's move on. Let's talk about Orient.
Go on then.
Did
off
you
go.
To watch the game?
I did watch the game. Of course, I did. I didn't. I obviously.
You went away, yeah?
I watched it somewhere. Yeah. I got into the house on the corner.
What do you think?
I thought it was very similar to the Stockport game in terms of two relatively even teams. I felt that they were. I don't think they were a better team, but I felt that they played better than us on the day. And I felt that the whole game was basically Chislett missed his big chance, which was horrendous, and Moncur scored theirs. And I felt that that was, in my opinion, if I had to sum the game up in a nutshell, that was it.
Yeah, I thought we'd done all right because we're the away team. I thought we carved out the better chances.
In the second half, definitely, yeah. Chislett's one was horrendous.
Criminal. Well, I can't, other than the Josh Moncur goal and the save where Zanev kind of spills it. Lucky enough, it goes off for a corner.
Yeah.
I can't remember them having too much. They had a volley that everyone, because it was.
That was George Moncur right outside the belt.
It was hit very hard, but still.
And straight to him.
Yeah. It weren't like he tipped over or anything. He just caught it. Yeah, they didn't have much else. I just thought Chizik's chances are absolutely criminal. He has to score. He scores that, it's a totally different game.
He's got to at least hit the target, Lee. He has to at least go
Keeper
on and
goes
hit the
down
target.
So early as well, so it's
he,
just
and he went miles over. It wasn't like a little bit.
Yeah.
The bloke went into orbit. It was on the central line.
But
so yeah, I don't know.
Ali had a chance. My frustration at the moment is Ali is not a winger, and people are judging him now being on a wing. Well, my mates who I was with were judging him, saying he didn't look great. A couple of us had a bit of an issue with him that he just looks really nervous. Looks like he's got no belief in himself at all. Tries to do like he just back. I'd like to see him go up front with Josh Davison, and then have the two of them because Josh just works his ass off all day long. But he's not having many chances, and I think that's coming from him not having a partner.
Yeah,
so he
agree.
needs an
it
alley
has to
with
be.
pace.
But the challenge with it though is, and again, I understand what you're saying with Alhamadi. I thought he had the chance in the first half when he went sort of not one on one, but he was.
Oh,
he's
he did. He
obviously
go. He went on one on one and
he's
pasted
got
him.
he's got pace to burn.
Yeah.
Again, unfortunately though, he's one of those wingers who kind of dips in and out of games, and Asau used to do it at times until we kind of flooded Asau with the ball. But he kind of drifted. I felt in and out of the games, and obviously the chance he had in the second half was quite a tough one, but nothing happened. First half he did well. I guess the problem is if you are going to put him up front with Davison, which would make sense, you're going to have to change the formation and you have to change the way
I
that
said
we
that.
play. And it's like, if you do that, then the biggest problem is where are you going to play Pell? And how are you going to go around? How are you going to navigate this?
I can only see us with going two up front is going back to a three at the back.
I agree.
And playing 3-5-2.
And I don't think, to be honest with you, with Curry, one side works, but Billa injured is desperate. I don't know how long he's
Yeah,
out
but then
for.
he'll play Yeshe Mimi.
No, I don't know. I don't think he will.
He played him as a right wing back at Charlton. Oh, he done well, Yeshe Mimi, when he came on.
Try see me. Yeah.
Yeshe Mimi.
I thought he came on and looked.
He looks powerful.
He looked
than
powerful. He looked settled. I thought he was comfortable at the level. And I think he could potentially be a good loan signing. It is just a question of, I feel now we are in a position where we're trying to work out how we're going to fit. Because he likes Pell playing further forward, which I like Pell playing further forward. Obviously, Little's played quite nicely. Woodyard's played well, but I'm as I said before, I feel like his legs are not quite where they were. And it is just a question of how are we going to. I don't know how you fit. If you play two up front, I don't really know how you fit Chislett and Pell in the same team.
Yeah, you
because
don't.
Pell would have to sit deeper. I don't think Chislett's quick enough to play as like a 4-4-2. I think he. I don't. I just don't see how that. I don't quite know how that works. So, I mean, I thought the defence was decent. I felt Billa actually, before the injury, I don't think he was brilliant. And I think his defensive play is going to be an issue on the fact that he goes up so quick to the ball. All it takes is one guy to make a little pass. And we were getting constantly peppered down both fullback channels with a little overloads. And that was clearly what they were looking to do. I thought Brown was absolutely as average as hell. I don't feel like he is. We lose a lot about our game. He's an old-fashioned left-back, isn't he?
Yeah, the problem with Brown I've got is against Leighton Orient when they're attacking us, you want a Brown there because he's tough, he's strong, and he ain't going to get beaten. Do you know what I mean? But he doesn't give us anything going forward.
No.
Nothing
and
at
he
all.
Slows, he slows the game down, but in addition, any free kick or corner, for some reason, he feels he needs to take it. It's like we've got Chislett, who scored three or four goals this year, who hits a good ball.
We've got Armani Little, who's apparently a set piece specialist.
Again, Armani Little, and you've got Lee Brown turning up, and everyone's like, get him out of the way.
One
miles wide.
One person that impressed me again was Pierce. I thought Pierce was excellent. Won everything again. His passing was spot on. Didn't get outpaced again, really. Paul Kalambay, this was a bit of a mixed review, Paul K. Some people said he was absolutely horrendous and his liability days were back. And a couple of my mates thought he was absolutely solid and was one of the best players on the park.
I didn't overly notice him, to be honest with you. In terms of when I watched it, I didn't watch it and be like, oh, right, he's had a shocker or he was amazing. He was just a seven. Seven, and we just sort of drifted through the game. Was quite surprised. Obviously, Pearson has now had no game time.
Well,
in the
was,
last.
So I was going to say, I'll go
we
for
had a
Paul
behind.
Kane.
We had behind closed doors game in the week, didn't we? Was it yesterday?
The other, I don't know about yesterday. I don't
yeah,
know the other week.
We played one against Portsmouth yesterday or the day before.
Paul Kane, he done a really good through ball. And we need to score from.
That was a great. That was a great free ball.
And then 2 minutes later, though, he gets the ball, loads of time on it, and then he just boots it off to the other wing and just kicks it off. And that's Paul Kalambay in a nutshell, I think.
Well, that's to be honest, if that's a League Two.
Pearson
football.
Was a weird one for me because he wasn't in the squad.
No,
but then he
not
played
yet.
For Bristol City's under 23s on the Sunday. And then someone made a comment on Twitter about why wasn't he in the Wimbledon squad. And then someone said, "Ask your gaffer." So it was either that he wanted him to have more game time before he comes in. So he was only going to be on the bench, where for Bristol he was going to play the whole game.
Yeah.
And that's why, or I don't know, but McAteer weren't available either, which was a strange one for me. You bring him in and you think he'd be on the bench at least.
I would have thought so. I mean, we'll get more of a flavour as to where we are as a group come Saturday, because obviously Saturday with Carlisle is a big game in terms of how are we gonna sit up. But having those players coming in and not necessarily being back in the group, we're kind of going back a little bit in terms of squad players and stuff. Just thought it was interesting to not see him. I didn't leave the game and feel disheartened.
I thought Armani Little was superb again, except for the challenge on
Moncur. I'm not quite in the same camp as everyone else. What is it that you're seeing about him, which is, I think he's been decent, but I don't have the same passion as others. What are you seeing that I'm not then?
He's like Woodyard, but he's drives forward as well. So he goes forward with the ball. He wants to go forward with the ball. He wants to pass forward with the ball. He's not one of these people that goes sideways or backwards like Marsh is.
Is he good, or is he just doing something that we don't have?
I think he's good and he's doing something we don't have. I think it's a bit of both. I'd like to see him a bit further up the field, but then we've got too many players that play that way already at the moment. I'd like to see him, if he's going to put a challenge in, put a little bit of more on it than he did on Moncur, because that led to the goal. I thought it was Gunter at first, but it wasn't. It was actually a little. But I'd like to see us look at his contract and see where he is and go, look, I'd like to see us sign him in the summer, because I think he's something that we need.
From what I've seen, I think he's been decent. I don't quite see the acceleration hype of it in terms of, like, oh my God, he's the next best thing.
I think that's because what you said there about he's something that we haven't, he's different.
I think that's more, I don't remember the last, can you remember the last proper midfielder who we had, centre midfielder, who was more, was like a box-to-box?
Reeves, maybe, Sammy Moore. We haven't
Sammy,
had one for...
Sammy Moore was a holder. He just got it in past sideways all day.
Nah, he didn't. He scored as well, mate.
And no, not loads.
A couple goals. Not like, but Reeves probably was the one that would go up and down and score goals as well. Do you know what I mean? Being in
Ballman, maybe. But I don't remember many recent midfielders who I thought, okay, you're a proper box-to-box. Oxenham just got it in past horizontally.
Yeah.
Woodyard never did.
Marsh does the same.
No, I don't look back at the game and feel like... I felt it was a point lost.
Quit.
I feel that we could have got a point. But the other thing as well, and I don't know what you thought, we're not overly bothered about Leighton Orient. I don't think, if you're their top of the league, I mean, sheesh. I'm not bothered about them at all.
As I said to you before, I like Orient. I like the setup down there. I like the team they've got. They've got no big stars other than George Moncur, maybe. They've got no one. They've got two players who I thought were brilliant. The geezer in midfield, I can't pronounce his name, so I'm not going to try. I thought he was excellent.
Idris Mazzouni, wasn't it? All
yeah,
right,
and they've signed two players from League One on loan. So they're not trying to do like what we do with Brentford or Chelsea and stuff like that. They're signing just a league above them, where they probably know, like Armani Little now, like we've done. And what we're doing with the Charlton lad as well. We're signing players who are just above us, probably not making it at League One level, but they can be brilliant at League Two level. And I think that's what we need to do. We were trying to sign Matty Stevens. We're trying to sign players now who are decent, and that's what Orient have done all season. They've signed players that they know can perform in League Two. They've got their own Harry Pell in Archibald, who's an absolute shit ass. Do you know what I mean? He winds people up. He doesn't stop. He's a little rat. I can't stand him. But if he can't sign for Wimbledon, I'll probably be quite happy, because he's that one bastard that you want. And I think, again, we talk about Harry Pell. I think they kind of got to him on Saturday, and he really wanted to perform, because I don't think he likes Orient. They don't like him. And I think he didn't perform great, unfortunately, which was a...
It was interesting, because they were, from what I can see on FootMob, which is obviously one of the other football apps are available, obviously. But literally matches player by player, stat by stat. And I'm looking at the stats in the game. The game was relatively, I mean, they had 12 shots, we had 11. We missed our big chance, and they scored theirs.
Yep.
And it's literally, they had a bit more possession. I'm not coming away from the game. I'm more frustrated that we lost the point, that then the losing of it, I can kind of live with. What, as we said before, the interesting thing for me is, if that's the top of the league and they're going up, I don't feel like we're a million miles away from them. The challenge is I think that there's going to be, and again, looking at the league table now, it's going to be seriously bunched. Like, there's going to be lots of people all in and around that league. It's going to be lively. I mean, if you look now, you know, in third place is 51 points. You've got 50, 48, and then you've got the drop. So from 43, which is sixth, you've got 6 points separating 15th to sixth. And that's, man, that's chaos.
Yeah, I think if we stay in this league next season, which I think we will, I think we are Orient next season. I think we'll have a young team, no big names. What I liked about Orient again as well is they do not give you a minute rest on the ball. They were in our faces from minute
They
one
were,
to the
yeah.
90th minute. They
I'll give
don't
them
stop
that.
close, and that's with a young, youthful team. That's what happens. But as you
They
said
were
earlier,
no sort of superstars in that
if
group. There were no
yeah,
great shakes, and they were missing a couple, obviously, Prattley and
question
Smith, to say it.
question for you,
Oh, 28, final answer.
if Biller is out for a little while,
Yeah.
do we go back to Isaac Ogundiri, or are you putting Chris Gunter in? Because I never want to see Chris Gunter in a Wilmington shirt again.
Well, no, you said after the World Cup you should come back and play. That was your words,
I
not
actually
mine.
didn't.
That
If
was
you want to
your words.
go back.
No, I said
I
you
said
played a
Biller.
young lad like Biller, or
You
did you go to
said no,
Gunter? And you went, "Oh,
no.
pick Chris Gunter.
You
He's a
said
World Cup hero. He's got a nice tan."
I said it's Biller's shirt. I said it's Gunter's shirt at the moment because he was in
Right.
the shirt. He
So
goes
you're
off to the World
so
Cup. It's then between Biller. You didn't even mention Biller. You didn't even know who Biller was until I told you about him,
never knew
right?
existed.
Biller and Ogundiri. It's between one of them to take the shirt, and Biller went and took it.
I need a biller, biller, biller
But
is what I need. Hoo-hoo.
Gunter could never play for Wimbledon again.
How long is
Well,
Biller out for, Mr. Chigwell?
don't know, and the club ain't gonna tell us, are they?
Nah,
So
that's true. We'll find him on the beach somewhere with a
they,
flu.
we won't know.
He'll
Yeah,
have a tooth out.
we just hope that Saturday they'll say, we've got a full squad, it's full 100%, no injuries, and then we'll be missing three or four
I think
players.
the problem is the way that we play,
Gunter's awful.
Gunter does not suit the way that we want to play.
No,
And
there's no excuses.
we really need energy on those fullback channels. And Curry hopefully will play on Saturday because we really missed him, I feel, on one side. And I feel we can cope with one side, but if we play Brown and Gunter, I think we're in a world of trouble in terms of attacking wise. We really struggle. I mean, they definitely can't play it. They also limit the way that we play. We can't play three at the back with Gunter on one side and Brown on the other. It
Not
just
having
won't work.
Gunter at all. A horrendous performance
Yeah,
this time.
so 1 point lost, disappointing, but I'm not throwing my toys out the pram. We made some chances. Another day, would we draw that, or we could potentially win it? So I feel like we're now we recognise that we can be a good game for anyone in the league.
As you said, the stats say we had 11 shots away from home at the league leaders. We were
You'd take
five
that
out
before
of
the
10
game, wouldn't
points.
you?
Do you know what I
League
mean?
leaders, tw eleven
And
shots on goal.
just before they scored, we should have gone 1-0 up, which is the goal. You know what I mean? Chislett should have had a goal there. That's 1-0, and the game
But
changes.
there's no animosity towards Leighton Orient. I wish them well. I quite like, as you know, I like them as a club. I wish them
I don't
well.
wish them well.
Well, all right, bit aggressive.
I like the way they're set up. I like the way they play football. Their fans are all West Ham and Spurs fans anyway. None of them
Well,
really support.
do you have any League Two teams that you actually would wish them well? Or
There's
are you if they're in our league?
no other teams I'd like to wish well other than Wimbledon and Rangers.
Wow,
And
awkward silence there.
MSV Duisburg.
Well, of course. I mean, I think we don't even need to mention Duisburg, do we?
The Zebras. But yeah, that's about it.
Is that what they're called?
That's in here though, yeah.
Come on, you said.
They've got a zebra on their shirt.
That's got to be the worst football. That's another one. Football nicknames, the Zebras.
And
Right,
mascots.
that's next
Their
week.
mascot's a zebra.
Wow.
Anyway, right, we'll crack on. When we come back, we're going to be discussing the ticketing situation again. Should it be, what's the, what was your question? Why should you have a debenture?
If I'm really honest with you, Lee, all I'm thinking about now is zebras. So let's just get, come on, you
Let's move on.
zebras
We'll come back and we'll discuss tickets.
and zebras.
The Wombles had a dream podcast by the fans for the fans.
We're back and we're going to be discussing ticketing. Obviously, the Orient game was a sellout, 1,200 fans, women and fans, which strange to me because I got told the away end held 1,500 by certain women and fans. But when I spoke to Danny Mack, he said no, his allocation was 1,200. So women and fans who are always in the know was not in the know. But yeah, 1,200 women and fans. Some people were a bit annoyed that they were calling people day trippers because women and fans got tickets before them, like me and you, unfortunately. I ended up with a ticket, but didn't get a ticket from the club, I ended up with someone who couldn't go. He sold me his ticket and stuff. But your thing was, why should we have debentures, Dan, shouldn't we, if we can't get...
I mean, the challenge I had is obviously, firstly, I don't know, I finally understand what it's like to be another club who run out of tickets for away games and there's a panic on. Like, apart from the Sutton game, I've never had a game where I've wanted to go and watch Wimbledon and not got a ticket. And to be honest with you, the Leighton Orient game, I before I even looked at getting a ticket, like, I didn't see any of the comms. It was a pretty mental, like, 3 or 4 days at work. And by the time I came to think about buying a ticket, they're all gone, which is amazing from a club of our size, pretty unique.
Yeah.
It also shows you now that we're quite punchy home and away, which is good. We've always been pretty good away from home in terms of carrying fans. But I just, for me, because obviously we obviously paid the debenture, which I know gives you your seat, if you like, and you get a ticket for everything. I just felt that if you've paid that investment into the club over a long period of time, that the ticket should be allocated to those people first who have kind of committed long-term financial support to the football club. I felt they would probably be the ones I would have been more interested to look after more. But you've got a different view on this, haven't you?
Well, no, well, mate, it was Richard Farrell, his name is, Dickie.
Pazza.
Dickie Faz.
He
disagreed with you last week regarding that, what you just said there.
Right. I want to fight him.
Well, he actually believes that there should be maybe some kind of point system. And I think Andy Dixon has raised this on Twitter as well regarding a point system for people that go to away games. If you've been to Hartlepool, you've been to Salford, Bradford, you've been to Lincoln on a Tuesday night or Newport on a Tuesday night, that should give you more points than a person that has a debenture on a season ticket at home games, only goes to home games and then decides to go to the London away games because it's easy for them. They're not going to travel and spend out the money. I know what you're saying about debenture, but I've probably spent more going to away games this year than your debenture cost, because the cost of travel nowadays is just through the roof.
But that money isn't going to the club.
I get
you're
that,
not spending
I'm,
the money.
I'm
at
spending
the club.
That money to go all the way to Hartlepool with, say, 300-400 hearty souls to cheer on the boys and make sure that they have that support there.
But that, I'm not disagreeing with you, and that is brilliant. But a restaurant doesn't factor in your travel time and your cost when you're a really loyal customer. You don't go, by the way, the petrol as well.
But
then
we're talking about
this amount.
Away game in London, and you're talking about home games, and that's why you buy your debentures. That if we have an FA Cup game, you can make sure you guarantee your seat to watch Wimbledon versus Man United.
Well, this is the conversation. I don't know.
Your ticket for Man United versus AFC Wimbledon in the FA Cup?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know whether people do buy the debentures solely for that. I'm under the impression, as far as I was concerned, that I got a debenture, which basically meant that I was in the first priority when tickets come out.
No,
that's what I believed was when I bought a debenture. Now, debenture, if I'm wrong,
knowledge is that you are buying a debenture to make sure you're guaranteed your home seat, your seat for any home games that we have. Not that
so an away game though. Should it be open? Should it be a freebie, or do you look after those who go to the games more? Whether that is, by the way, your point system, whether it is your away game, if you go to 3 away games, you get a preference, or home games, or do you just go when it's an away game, it's a free-for-all, so people who don't really go but they just fancy a day out.
It's
the whole scale, isn't it?
Because obviously I missed out on Orient tickets at first because it was my own stupidity, really. I went to buy one, said, oh no, I'll leave it, I ain't gonna sell out, I'll buy one on Friday when I've got more money, and when I went to buy them, they were sold out.
What's the fairest way
to do it?
The thing
is, I want to say, first off, is like you said earlier about, it's amazing now that I said to you at halftime, I looked around at halftime at Orient, and there's a lot of youngsters now following Wimbledon. And I don't mean youngsters, I mean like under 12, I mean 14 upwards.
The GCSE crowd.
People that are coming to Plough Lane now and going, I love this. I love the singing in the East. Like, they might be sitting in the East Stand with their family going, I love the singing in here. And they've gone to their mates, there's 10 of them, they're 15 years old, 16 years old, and gone, we're allowed to go to Orient because it's on the tube. Do you know what I mean? We can just get a tube up there. Do you know what I mean? Dad's going to come with us, but the rest of us. I looked around, there was a lot of youngsters there. It's not like people getting called day trippers and stuff, which I didn't agree with, really. It's your fault if you missed out on a ticket. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. And these are all people that are getting involved, the singing, you know what I mean? The chanting, the giving Archibald a load of stick with me. They were loving it. And that's good, but these people are not going to go to Hartlepool because they're just at that age where they're probably not going to be allowed. I think you have to kind of, you have to protect them people that are going to, like, I spent, what, close to a couple hundred quid going up to Hartlepool first game of the season.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just on train tickets, match tickets, bit of food and drink for me and my boy. And then I couldn't get an Orient ticket, which is an hour on the train. It's mad to me, but.
So what's the how did the club do it though?
That's the problem.
Well, this is the problem. Like, is it like you know, a lad of mine, he's a Chelsea season ticket holder, and they do the points there where every time your ticket, you buzz your ticket to get in the ground when you got a season ticket, you get a certain number of points, even if you bought the season ticket. So you got your season ticket card. Every home game, you give it a buzz.
Do you do an away club? Do you do an away club? Say £20. Each, so again, it pays for it kind of. So England do it, don't they? I think it's a bit more. So you used to get with England, it used to be you get two caps for an away game, one cap for a home game. And then obviously, the more caps you get, the more chance you've got of getting tickets for the big games like the European qualifiers or the World Cups and stuff like that. But I think they changed it now. You only get one cap for an away game and two cap for a home game because they wanted you to be going to the home games. Do we do something like that where you do an away travel club, so you all people that are going to go to Bradford, Hart, like there's some people I know that haven't missed an away game. I think John Mayhew, his name is, he's trying to do every single game this season or every single away game.
Okay,
I think I think he's done pretty much all of them, but he might have missed out on an Orient ticket because it sold out so quickly, and he's done every single away game this year: Hartlepool, Bradford's, Newport's on Tuesday nights. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I think
do we do a travel club? The people join again. We're a volunteer club, though. That's the problem, Dan. Who's gonna?
I think, and again, this is how, part one of the problem is of all of the things that the club have got.
Is
to work
there a problem
on.
There? Is there even a problem there?
Well, that's part one. I was going to say is the it's not the only game because Sutton was particularly challenging.
Sutton was always going to be challenging because of Sutton versus Wimbledon.
But that's the point. In
Orient
particular,
was only challenging because Orient are doing well.
Yeah. But
if Orient weren't doing well, we would have been given another 500, 1,000 tickets.
Oh, no, of course. But the reality of it is that in the Sutton game, in terms of Orient, with the limited tickets that were available, these things are going to pop up. So, like you said, the question is, do you create something for those couple of days? Or, from my perspective, I would be very tempted to do a point system where if you've got a ticket... a game, every time you bought a ticket or you buzz your ticket, because they must know ticket in your pop, you get a certain number of points, and the idea being,
but then that's
that,
only home fans getting points because you can't do it away.
When you buy an away ticket, you get.
But then what about if you go into say Hartlepool and you go and you buy on a day?
Well, there's always going to be a problem. So you can either go and take a picture of your match ticket, or you come up with another solution to it. There is no great answer, and I think that, to be honest with you, the answer is you just leave it as it is. But I guess it's just for me is whether or not I personally don't feel that if someone is going up to Hartlepool, it's a fantastic effort, and I get it. But to get a priority for the football club over people who are giving money regularly to the football club is a tricky business
I'm on the other side.
You're talking about rewarding people for effort, but for a home game, some people might be coming miles and miles and miles away, but we're not rewarding them.
No, I'm on the other side of that. I'm on the other side that if you're going to Hartlepool, then you should be getting a ticket for Orient. And that if I go to more away games than I go to home games.
Yeah.
So I'm putting in the effort to go get trains and stuff, and
I prefer the
away games because I'm not being sanitized on.
But why should the club then? What's in it? Why should the club give you a preferential treatment because of how much effort you put in over someone who's working hard, putting the effort in to pay thing, to buy more shirts, to put more money behind the bar? Why should they? Why should effort be given over actual financial support?
But that's why if Wimbledon played Man U or Chelsea in the FA Cup and we played them at home, I'd probably have no chance of getting a ticket.
But you've put in loads of effort.
But then if we played Man United away, I should be hoping to get a ticket for that because I've been to a lot more away games.
It's an interesting one because, like I said, I totally understand where you're coming from, and that ultimately you're right. If you're I went up to Hartlepool, I should get a ticket for Orient. I can't get it.
Dan, with this.
What is the good thing, Lee? Give me the good thing, please.
Well, when I first started watching Wimbledon and I started going away
during the war, Uncle Albert.
But when I started going to away games, we couldn't even sell out West Ham.
Oh, it's phenomenal.
I remember watching Paolo Di Canio who scored that volley at West Ham, and we had about 1,500 seats, and we only sold about 500. It was empty.
Our away at West Ham is very good.
I remember going up to Grimsby on a Tuesday night, and there was like 50 of us, 100 of us.
Yeah, I had that with
and crew. That's how you got to know other Wimbledon. That's how I knew met Mikey T and people like that, because
me and my mate Dan Lewis went up to crew, and it was literally one coach. Yeah, and I reckon a handful of other people.
I remember Man City. I didn't go, but my mate Steve did, and he told me that we had one row. Man City away, we had one row at Man City. That's it. Well, now, if we were going to Man City next week in an FA Cup game, we'd probably take 1,000 to 2,000 people on it. Probably more, not that much. But yeah, I don't know, actually. But do you know what I mean? But back in when I first started going to watch Wimbledon, there was no worry about getting away tickets. You know what I mean? They were easy to get, cheap and stuff. And it's
do we sandwich? Go on.
It's a good problem to have. It's like
do we sandwich, though, this conversation with the next bit we're going to talk about around the fixtures?
Well, you want
they're,
it.
Yeah, they're kind of is, so. My question
with you as well.
We're gonna have an absolute tear up, mate, in a minute. Because I'm a bit frustrated in terms of, in my opinion, the Leyton Orient game is 100% a midweek game. It's London. It's after work. It's an hour away. They should be midweek games, and the games that are further away take longer to get to. They should be the ones that are on a Saturday. Carlisle away. So, for example, Newport, playing Newport on a Boxing Day is a total waste of money.
Who would you play?
Orient, Crawley, Colchester, Northampton, loads of teams who could be within a mile to an hour and a half. An hour and a half. How it's ridiculously having people coming from Barry Island or wherever it is in Wales coming over on Boxing Day. Boxing Day should have been Sutton, to be blunt. It should have been, who is the nearest team? Get everyone so no one's travelling on Boxing Day more than an hour.
So what do you do, right, when Carlisle was on a Saturday, like you want it?
Yep, I want it. I want it on a Saturday.
It's called off, Waterloo pitch.
Then that's a different conversation.
So then we have to have it on a Tuesday night.
Well, then you might potentially have to, or there's no reason why you can't go, well,
like
that
Colchester
game,
was a
we'll move that
December,
one.
Which was perfect.
Yeah, Colchester, because it's in the Christmas period, so you keep them local. Sutton New Year's Day, it's local. That's perfect.
So I'm not
moaning about that bit, but Newport on a Boxing Day,
but
going up to somewhere else
have?
And Crawley.
Yeah, but Crawley had Northampton.
Who had?
Crawley.
What, a Boxing Day?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. I just made that up.
Well, of course you have, because I want you to admit that you lied live on our podcast, please.
But you've got other fixtures that you... Who are Newport going to play? There's no one close to Newport on Boxing Day.
There are loads of fixtures. There are loads of fixtures that they could have. Loads.
Who?
What do you mean who? What, you're
not,
an owl?
No, you're not giving me any... You're not giving me any...
I'm going to. I'm looking it up right now.
You should have researched this before you asked the question regarding regionally fixtures.
Listen, I'm syncing my schedule.
I'm not for regionalising fixtures, because then that way we didn't get regionalised leagues and stuff like that.
The game itself is moving further and further away from allowing. I know you don't care. Your heart's not on it. But you're not going to get a ticket, are you? Because you're not in the away crowd or whatever it is you're talking about.
I'm on the away day.
Look, all I'm saying to you is that I'm just scrolling through now. I'm going to look at the Boxing Day fixtures, and we're going to talk about this because this is important. So Boxing Day, right? You could quite okay. Check this out. Check this out for size.
Yep.
Tranmere have got Doncaster. Fine. Gillingham, Colchester, I can get with that. Yeah. Salford, Borough, I can get it. Stockport, Crewe, I get it.
Yeah.
Swindon, Walsall, not convinced.
What do you mean Swindon, Walsall?
Walsall's in Birmingham and Swindon's not in Birmingham.
Well, yeah. But,
Swindon's nearer Northampton.
Who are Walsall's play?
Mansfield.
Who did Mansfield play?
Northampton.
So Mansfield's closer than Northampton, though?
No, Mansfield should play Walsall and Swindon should play Northampton. Swindon and Northampton are not next to each other. Well, then the distance between Swindon and Walsall, Swindon and Mansfield, and Swindon and Northampton, I'd bet Swindon is closer to Northampton than the other two.
Right.
Right, correct. Crawley have got Sutton, Rochdale have got Hartlepool,
yeah,
Leyton Orient, Stevenage, right? So you could quite easily have played Wimbledon, played Leyton Orient. Stevenage, although it's not particularly closer, is probably closer to Newport. And in fact, if anything, we should probably play Newport. It's their fault. They should be closer to somebody else. But it just, for me, I feel that there must be better ways of running the fixtures, because at the moment there are teams that are playing that are relatively far away, and maybe my Newport example is a rubbish one.
You're Swindon to Walsall and Swindon to Northampton. Swindon to Northampton was 70 miles and Swindon to Walsall was 87. So it's only 17 miles, isn't it? It's only seven minutes.
Hey, that could be a lot. That could be 10 quid, mate.
See,
that could be 10 quid on a train.
It's just blown your theory straight out of the water. Your theory is just completely nonsense because you've
but
got
what
to
I mean
fit
is
in every... It's not just about what you wanted,
okay,
and what Wimbledon wanted.
But what about... What I'm talking about...
It's not my fault. Newport shouldn't even be in the league.
Well, I don't disagree with you. But what I'm saying to you is,
the Welsh League.
So what I'm saying is, right now, if you go for Wimbledon's fixtures, right, in terms of the rest of Wimbledon's fixtures,
Newport would have been better off having Swindon on Boxing Day.
Well, what about okay? So let's get rid of the Boxing Day debate because I've lost that. I need to find something I can win on. Right. So if you think about midweek fixtures, right? Surely
the further
if you're
the better.
Playing, no, incorrect. It should be the nearer the better.
No, further.
We've got Gillingham on a Saturday, Northampton
on a Tuesday. You get a private coach, load of boys with you, Bosch,
no one's going.
Load of drink.
Yeah, well, no one's going.
Me and my mates do.
Not in midweek, they're not.
They do.
They're not.
There's a few of my mates who only will do midweek coach trips.
Of course, a few
private
of your mates.
Coach,
your only
private
mates.
Coach. Do you know what I mean? Drink.
I mean, look. You've got Harrogate Town
on Easter
Friday, right? Yes. I get it because it's the Easter weekend. So you can have that Friday. It's a 3 o'clock kickoff. Everyone's got a day off. You can take the journey, right? What I'm saying is on Tuesday night.
Well, not everyone's got a day off, though. I'm self-employed. I'll be working on the Saturday.
Hey, about time you did some work around it, pal. About time you did some work. All I'm saying is that midweek games should be local and weekend games should be further away. And at the moment, it doesn't always happen that way.
So when do you, with the cup draws now then, do you want them regionalised up to say the third round or the fourth round?
No. Not
so the first
necessarily.
Round.
But the Johnston's Paint is where it is, the so, Mickey Mouse.
Do you want to get rid of replays?
I don't think we should do replays, no. I think they need to go.
So what about if you're a team like us and you get Man U away?
Then you play Man United away.
But then we draw and we could get them back at Plough Lane on a Tuesday night with a bit more money made.
We play on the day. You've got more chance of winning over against any team
like
on a one-off game rather than
like,
the replay. The replays is stacked for the better teams.
You don't like the little man?
No, I love the little man. That's why I want it on one game.
Well, that's not helping the little man because the little man would prefer a replay and get more
money. You've got more chance of beating anybody in a one-off game than you have over two.
Sheffield United Wrexham didn't work out that way, did it?
Well, it did, because if it was on one game, that game goes to penalties and Wrexham have got more chance than they have now, who are definitely out.
Good. Glad to
hear that. And Billy Sharp was excellent, by the way.
Yeah, I love that.
So I think that replays shouldn't happen. It's one-off game. That means that the smaller team have got they might miss out on the extra bit of finances, but they've got a better chance of winning and a better chance of going through because it's unlikely the big team plays crap twice. They might play rubbish once, but they're not rubbish twice.
So I reckon you'll be one of these people that will vote for a regional league soon, won't you?
I don't understand.
You're not saying no, are you?
I'm not. Listen. Right now, all I want to know is...
If we had a regional league, I'd pack it in, I think.
Well, of course you would pack it in.
I like going to Carlisle's.
So do I. On a Saturday. I don't want to go to Hartlepool on a Tuesday.
No, but
when
I
half
do.
Of the population... I know you do, but
I'd stay up there
the population...
Night. Stay in Hartlepool on a night out.
Yeah, but not everyone can do
have
that.
Have a night out and Tuesday
I've
night
got,
in Hartlepool.
I've got DT period one on a Wednesday. I'll never get back for it.
It's your own fault.
Well, that's your fault as well. Edward.
I don't mind it. And as I said, a lot of my mates enjoy a coach journey on a Tuesday night to somewhere far and beyond.
I'm not disagreeing with that. All I'm saying is there are a number of people out
Accrington,
there.
Accrington.
Surely we should
last
support
year,
most
on the Tuesday
people
night
the games.
Was the best atmosphere that Wimbledon have ever had.
It was for the 200 people that went. That's and the 400 who would normally go but couldn't because of the fixture day is unfortunate.
And
not
the 200
fair.
That went couldn't get a ticket for it.
Correct. Which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
But
all you
I still feel like it should be, games should be put on for fans at the best or possible opportunity to attend.
More
people are going to attend Gillingham in a midweek than they are Tranmere or Hartlepool on a midweek.
You're going to make a day out.
And I know we're winding each other up, but I know it's difficult to avoid it. You're right. It is impossible to avoid it. You get games called off, but I just feel... Every league team, the six teams around them, they should be going.
But
that's
would
midweek,
mean
that's midweek. That's midweek. That's midweek. Not Wimbledon Tranmere.
But that would
Tranmere.
Mean putting fans first, Danny, which we know.
I know, which is. I know.
Authorities are never going to do that in a million years because it's.
Yeah.
I don't get. I get what you're saying about the Christmas Day, the Boxing Day one.
I take that argument on that. You can't, and particularly with Newport, it's almost impossible.
Well, Swindon would have been probably the best one for them to play on Boxing Day because it's probably the closest one. But then you've got Northampton. Then you've got to try. It's trying to fit the jigsaw together, and sometimes you've got pieces you think, "Fuck, I just have to trim them
and
down."
And ultimately, when you went in,
I get your Tuesday night.
I just feel like midweek games.
Who was it? We had Burton on a Tuesday night, and then we had Bradford on a Saturday. We got battered in both. Do you know what I mean? I get what you're saying. I get your thing with the Tuesday night games. I get we should be having the Crawleys, the Colchesters, the Suns.
It is also, by the way, just on the other side of the coin, if you're travelling up to Hartlepool, forget that, even take the fans out of it, Wimbledon players are going to finish playing at Bradford. They've had to travel up probably the night before, right, at expense to the club or whatever. They're up there. The game finishes at, what, 9:45? By the time they've got on the coach, it's... after 10, because they're not going to be on the coach 45 minutes later. They're not going to be in till 4:30, 5 in the morning. Then they've got to get from where the car's dropped off to wherever it is. They're not walking in the door till 6:30. They're going to be absolute right off the next day. And a bit of, it doesn't, it's part of the football culture.
No, I agree.
I agree with that. Coming back from Carlisle after a game of football and you're at Alex Woodyard and you've got 7 hours and a coach.
Especially
it's
at our level, especially at League Two, League One. Possibly Championship level's fine. There's a lot of them that fly. Who was it? Forest flew to Norwich, I think.
I saw that. It all kicked off.
Do you know what I mean? But I kind of get it from a green aspect. But at the end of the day, if you can afford to fly, then fly. But we can't. I think we get the train on the odd occasion back from games on a Saturday. But
and that's another one, though. If you're going to train it up, you can't. On the midweek. If you're going up Northampton on the midweek, you're not getting back.
No, that's the thing. There's no trains back from Newport.
So literally, you are.
I get your point regarding that. And as I said, I think, I think the authorities, again, don't care about fans. They just put these fixtures in and think, right, you have to deal with it. And
it's a shame because ultimately, when you look at it, you want to earn the most amount of money you possibly can for your team. Ultimately, match day money is very important to Wimbledon. We've been speaking about it for ages.
Do you reckon one day they'll bring back a kind of bean back? Do you know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. Like, especially imagine the Phoenix, you put it up on the bar.
I was going to say the Phoenix, the silver lounge that we have, and you put, say, Hartlepool on a Saturday back, you ain't going to get many Wimbledon fans travelling up there anyway. You get the hardcore.
I'll tell you what, though. Do you remember when we played Millwall? When we beat West Ham and we played Millwall and we lost 1-0 at home?
Millwall had
mate of mine's a Millwall fan, and they had the bean back. I thought you said bean bag. They had the bean back at their club. And with the modern day, I guess what they took, that's kind of died on the fact of you can get iPlayer and iFollow and that sort of stuff. But I don't personally see any reason why they can't do that. But it is just a case of, you're a club's going to earn more money that you going to the ground than you paying a £10 match fee.
No, but I'm talking about, like, say, your heart. Most people are going to go to Crawley and stuff. Like, Orient the other day, we could have probably had a bean back at the Phoenix, and the people like yourself, we couldn't get tickets. Might have
gone down and spent more.
You know what I mean? And if it's a sellout game, why not have a beanback and stuff? And it just seems weird. I know people say you should have the 3 o'clock cut off so teams don't die and stuff, which Andy Brazell said he don't really agree with either. But I think beanbacks could work, as you said, if people, especially cost of living at the moment, I said it was...
That's my point.
A lot of the away games I would have gone to this year that I've looked at and I just thought... I can't afford to pay 85, 90 quid on a train travel from London to...
Bearing in mind, you're not even sure whether it's going to be there. You've got the strikes, you've got the related...
I could have gone abroad for 2 nights and watched 2 games in, say, Holland, Germany, Portugal, Spain for the price it cost me to go to Hartlepool. Do you know what I mean? And that's mad. I only went because I've never been there. I wanted to go and see what it's like. But it is, it's what football fans do. And we go... all across the country, across the world to watch our team and we spend fortunes on it. But I think the authorities have to look at it now and think, actually, people who haven't got that money, how can we make it better for supporters? Like, Hartlepool fans are not going to watch it. They're going to watch it at their own ground. If we had a beanbag, if Hartlepool fans said, all right, we're not traveling, only 100 local fans, we could get more Wimbledon fans in.
If they genuinely care about the fans. And like you said, the beanback for us is slightly different. But if you're someone like Hartlepool, you're one of a smaller northern city, where, or even Newport, where you're out of the way, you'd think a beanbag would be quite popular, because not many are going. You're in the corner of nowhere. It's like Ipswich or Norwich. They're saying one of their away games, they haven't got an away game within 100 miles of themselves every year. I think football has to follow the suit of society and try and work a way to find it a bit more convenient, a bit better, but particularly lower down, where frankly we earn our money from the ground. We've got to find a way of supporting these clubs at the bottom to generate as much money as they can by making the games affordable and accessible. And at the moment, going anywhere above Manchester on a midweek is just a no-go. Here, end of the lesson.
No, I agree with you saying that.
You don't agree, do you? You don't agree. You want to go on the express, don't you?
I like going on a big jolly most times and going to watch away games, and I prefer away games to home games.
Well, final question, Lee.
I find home games too sanitised now anyway.
What's a better away game? Is it a decent coach journey on the way up, or is it a decent train journey on the way up?
Decent train journey for me.
Okay.
I always prefer the trains, because you can get the walk about. Do you know what I mean? If you want to stretch your legs, you can. Do you know what I mean? There's toilet facilities most times on coaches. There's not. I do like a train journey to an away game, and then go to that city, have a few drinks in the town there, and then go to the away game. But as I said, at the moment, the cost of it, the train companies are an absolute joke. They can't put their house in order, so it's hard to get train tickets.
It's definitely, I mean, obviously we've got Dolly at home, but it's definitely put me off some of the away games in terms of, I'm thinking, crikey, that's a one-er, and I've not even got there yet.
That's what I mean.
And it's just like, and you kind of, hopefully some people don't have that problem, but if we're going to become more and more affordable football, we need to kind of holistically look at it at the minute. The Premiership's the Premiership. The fact that Man United only have had one 3 o'clock Saturday game, I think it is this year, tells you everything you need to know. They couldn't give a toss about the actual fans, but I think lower down, where the importance of getting fans through the door, I don't see Man United thinking
round
they've got to get more fans.
If fans don't go, they'll just have tourists.
The Premier League, getting people in the door doesn't matter, but lower down it does.
Round here, Southend used to play on Friday nights, because West Ham and Spurs and all them would be sat at home on Saturday, so they play Friday night and they get a few more, and then they kind of stopped that. That was something I thought we might have looked at, Friday night games, but it's weird. I talk about Germany, but in Germany they have
Germany.
Well, and Prague, they have in Czech Republic. If you didn't know where Prague was, then a lot of the non-league, lower level, the proper non-league, they play on Sundays, so everyone plays on Saturday, and in the lower league, I think some games are low, like 10:15 in the morning on a Sunday. But in Germany, their lower league, their non-league play 3:30 on a Sunday. So you can go watch your Borussia Mönchengladbach on Saturday at 3 o'clock. And then on Sunday, you can go watch a non-league team. And then they get a few more people through the door.
Wow.
But we're 3 o'clock kickoffs only in this country, which I kind of respect and like. It just means I can't ground hop as much as I like either, which is annoying. But should we move on?
Let's do previews.
And we do preview, who we got? Carlisle and then Northampton on Valentine's.
Love is in the air.
Back in a minute.
The Wombles had a dream podcast. By the fans, for the fans.
So we're back for the last part of today's episode, which is going to be previews. We're previewing the game on Saturday against Carlisle. Carlisle currently third. And then we go to Northampton on Valentine's Day. And I think Northampton are fourth.
Correct.
Yeah, so what a week, couple of weeks of games. First, third and fourth in the space of 7 days, 10 days?
Yep. I mean, I'm looking just briefly on some
of the
form.
Did you see Carlisle Saturday?
No.
Lost 1-0 to Harrogate. Have you not seen the goal?
No.
Classic own goal it was. Classic own goal. Long ball over the top. Guy's got...
Defender's running towards it and nicks it past the keeper, does he?
Well, defender's running backwards towards his own goal. Got a striker chasing him down. He passes it back. Keeper's come too far. He's passed it straight into the corner.
That's Danny Baker own goals and gaffs, isn't it?
I was just about to say that's one for the video of own. Did you at Christmas get own goals and gaffs?
Well, it's Danny Baker. I mean, everyone in the whole school got it. And basically, Danny Baker, he goes and gets.
Proper Danny Baker, that one.
Unfortunately, it was always Wimbledon, like Simon Tracy dropping a ball over the line. That nonsense. But it was interesting. Carlisle have played in the last five. They've won four before the Hurricane game. They've won four.
I think a lot of them were at home, though, weren't they?
I shall investigate.
I'm sure they're home for.
So Carlisle, in their last four home, they've won, apart from Harrogate, they've won the last four. Yeah. Whereas over, well, they, yeah, that, yeah, it's been home, win.
Yeah, all home. Yeah, see, so I don't know about the away record. I researched that. I don't care. I will batter anyone.
Well, Carlisle's last, they've won, lost, one.
Oh, so they're due a loss.
They're up if the pattern continues.
Oh, right.
So yeah, it's a weird one. When we played them, we lost up there, didn't we? 2-1. Asal scored in the first half, and then they 2-1, scored.
Yeah.
Dennis, who scored a few goals.
Great place, Carlisle as well.
It's one of the ones I've been trying to look at. I mean, he's got 17 goals this year, Dennis, which is weird because he's basically been very, very average up to that point.
Excuse me, I've got a bit of a cough here. I mean, I know nothing about Carlisle, really. I know they're third. I didn't think they'd be doing anything, but
basically, Carlisle, their top goal scorer, scored 17 goals.
Right.
And after that, the next bloke's got four.
Paul Callanby, keep him quiet then.
Absolutely.
So it sounds like if you keep him quiet, then you'll be in.
I mean, from what I can see, they've got the massive goalie, Holly, whatever his name is, playing. He used to play at Ipswich and Cambridge. I'm quite optimistic about the weekend, but again, it just depends on.
What are you starting?
That is the golden question, and I think I have to stick with the formation that has been tried and tested. So I personally would be playing, obviously, Zanev in goal. The centre backs are the same. I'm playing Curry left back, and I'm playing right back. It's going to have to be Gunter. I don't know anything about whether Ogonde is fit. I don't know if he's been around. I feel like we lose something with Ogondiri, but I play him. I'm playing the two holders as Armani Little and Woodyard. Giacimi plays for me on the right. I'm playing Chislett left. I'm playing Pell and I'm playing Davison. I'm having Hamadi come on as a bit of an impact sub who's quite quick. That's what I'm looking at now. There is an argument, as you said before, you could play three at the back to play two and play Giacimi Widey. But I feel like Giacimi gets the nod for me over Alhamadi. And then Chislett, I think, gets a gig after playing lots and lots of football regularly. I also feel, though, and I don't know how you feel about this, but the way that we kind of play and we play long ball, it's just not suiting Davison at all. And like, no. Davison, if you think of how many shots Davison's had this year, it's low. And the challenge, obviously, is that he kind of gets it, chases it, and then gives it to someone else. And we score goals because Pell joins the play, Chislett's in and around it. Davison's almost playing as an old-fashioned number 9, if you like, or a number 10, like a battering ram, chase it. And we really could do with him being on the end of some shots, because I don't still think whether he's a good finisher, I don't know.
Josh Davison's a quality finisher.
When I feel he's never in the position to be on the end of a cross.
He should have been in the Chislett position against Orient. That 100%. Should be Josh Davison.
And he isn't because he's too busy. And again, every single time the ball goes in the air, he's pinned. I don't feel that's his best. I feel like he should be running onto stuff. But if you do that, then you've got to lose another key player or a key way that we play. And I do feel that Jackson would want to play two up front because he obviously played NYC and Davison at the beginning of the year in his own methods.
3-5-2.
But I don't feel like he's going to do that. So I'd keep it exactly the same, but I'm putting Gunter, unfortunately, at right back over Ogonde because I don't know what he's up to. And I am definitely playing Giacimi from the start, and I'm resting Alhamadi and saying, you've got half an hour, you're going to run him ragged. And whichever one of Chislett and Giacimi is blowing up, he can come on and have a leg it.
I think he'll play what you just said. I think that's what he'll do. I think in his own head, though, I think he'd prefer to change it. And I think he'd rather go three at the back. And I think he'd rather go Paul Callanby, Pierce and Pierre, and then go Yash.
Oh, over Brown and Gunter.
Oh, 100%. That's why he's put Pierre.
I think Pierre's a good player, you know. I think he's a great signing on paper. I think you have to try and get him in.
And this is why I wouldn't be too disappointed if he does go with a three at the back. Even though I said before I would leave and I would want him sacked if he went three at the back. But that's because he was playing Brown and people like that. Now we've got Pierre. And then I'd go I think this is what I think he really wants to do. Go Curry left wing back. Jaime Jeshimi on the right wing back.
What, on Saturday or in general?
In general, this is what
Over Biller?
Well, no, Biller, but at the moment, Biller's out.
Oh, so right, sorry. Yeah. Okay.
So, right wing back, because I think he's been brought in because he can play that position. He played it for Charlton. Then I think he'd like to go with the three in the midfield would be Woodyard, Little, Pell, and then Davison and Ali up front.
Yeah, I can see that.
Because Little,
Woodyard
just sits in front of the three and clears up. Little goes, he can go box to box. Pell can go box to box. They can
definitely
both
opens up the front for almost the players to lots of five. And the idea the wing backs go, one or two of the midfielders can sit, can't they?
And then, yeah, and then Pell can sit. We know Pell can sit. We know Little can sit. But they can also both go forward if we need
We'd be a big team, by the way. We'd have Cannon, Baye, Pierre, Pell. I mean, that's their three real big. A big target, and I feel like
I am dropping Chislett out of that because I don't think he'd work in that kind of situ. But
unless
he
plays as a 10, but I don't
can't.
Think
and I and then that gives Josh Davison a little up front. Sorry, not a little Ali up front. That I think Josh is getting, he's not getting in positions that we need him to be in. We need our strikers to be in amongst the opposition box. He's not, and that's why we're not scoring goals.
I mean, let's be blunt as well. In the last five games, we've scored two goals. We've lost 1-0 to Leyton Orient. We beat Stockport 1-0. We drew 0-0 with Bradford. We drew 0-0 with Crewe. And we lost to Sutton 2-1. Before that, we went to Colchester and we won 2-1.
We scored, last minute as well.
So. When we're not scoring lots and lots of goals, we're competitive, but we specialize in people scoring lots of different places. We've got Davison's got 8, Chislett 7, obviously Sal's not around, Pell's got 3. So we've been more suited to spreading the goals around. But when you look at us, like I said, we're +1 and we've got a seriously good defensive record. We've scored 30 goals this year, which is, like I said, I'm a bit concerned in terms of how we're going to impact on this league without finding some more options to score. And I think that's exactly your point. It's not a surprise to me that we play one up front, which is Davison, and we've scored 3 goals in 5 games, whereas clean sheets, we've been keeping clean sheets, no problem. I guess it's that everyone's looking for a balance, aren't they? They want to have clean sheets and they want to score goals, but it's so hard to get both.
But the problem for me on that stat is Davison's not really having any shots. Not none I can remember, really. That, do you know what I mean? I know he scored against Sutton, but that was just off the...
I mean, do you feel maybe we need to play more adventurous on the fact that we're not going to get relegated, right? So realistically, if we're going to do anything, we're going to try and go up. Are we in a position now? Because normally we play poorly, right? If we could track back a little bit, we were playing poorly. He's then decided to change it. We've become solid at the back and we're nicking 1-0s here and 2-1s there. We've not really smashed a team from what I remember. I could be wrong, but I don't remember taking the team to the cleaners. Do you feel like we're in a position now where we should roll the dice a bit and go, come on, we need to get some players in the box here?
Yeah, I think especially at home, I don't see the reason why we have to play two defensive midfielders. Do you know what I mean? If you're going to play four, play 4-1-3-2 or something. I don't know. We have to find a way of getting two up front. We really do. And Ali
or at
is
least
not...
getting more players nearer Davison. Because Davison
Ali is not a winger. Ali is not a winger in a million years. Never will be, never has been. He's been a striker for Wickham. Do you know what I mean? And I think we need to get him next to Josh Davison up front. We have no other strikers, unfortunately, now, because we missed out on Stevens. I think, I agree with you. We're not going down. We possibly could make the playoffs, which can be very tough. We've got a very tough run in. You have to go for Carlisle. You have to go at Northampton. And then we got Hartlepool, which I think will batter. But we need to, I don't know how he does it with the 4-2-3-1 all the time, where Josh Davison is working his ass off and we haven't got a Sal anymore. A Sal used to pick up the pieces that Josh Davison would work hard for.
100%.
A Sal would get further forward. And we haven't got that anymore. So we have to, Ali is not a Sal. And again, he's never going to be that. And we can't change him into that either. We just need to get them two playing further up the field together in a two. And I just think that with the players that we got, and as I said, I think it's my opinion, and I think it's Johnny Jackson's own opinion, is that we might have to go 3-5-2 because I don't see what else we can play with the players that we have.
So what would be a good return from the two games? I mean, for me, the home game against Carlisle, Northampton away, Northampton are decent. Obviously, Mitch Pinnock, who I actually quite liked, but he's been good there. He was very inconsistent in Northampton. What would be a good return to keep us in the hunt?
Three
in terms
points.
Of, to keep three, win one, lose one.
We'd have to, yeah. We have to win one. We have to. I was going to say 2 points at first, and like two draws, and then you go and beat Hartlepool, left 5 points out of three games, but.
But when you extend it and you go to Leighton Orient,
it depends on how you draw these games. If we Carlisle go 1-0 up and we draw 1-1, you can't. And Northampton the same. But if we go 1-0 up and then they come back and draw against us, do you know what I mean? Or if it's a boring 0-0 and we don't score again, do you know what I mean? It's a tough one, man. If we play Carlisle and they beat us 1-0, and we haven't had many shots. Do you know what I mean? I know Orient we had 11 shots, but how many of them again from our strikers? One from Ali. Most of them
I feel like I'm with you. I feel like we need to get a win out of one of the two to kind of give ourselves the confidence, Brennan. And again, we know we'd have played three of the top four.
Yeah.
And they're done. And now we can go, right, we can have a... I feel like we on our day, we showed at Leighton Orient, if we're playing at our best, I think we're as good as anybody.
Dan, for me, the tougher games are going to come against the lower league teams. Chillingham are going to be tougher than, I think, Carlisle and Northampton because they've just bought a brand new squad of really good players and they're going to be fighting to get out of it. Hartlepool are going to be fighting. Harrogate are going to be fighting. Got Walsall to come down. Teams who want to
and the teams who will sit deep and not want to come at us at half.
Yeah,
we're
and who
really
want to be in the
way.
Playoffs. I just think we need, as you said, we're not going down. I think from a fan's point of view, we know we're probably not going to make the playoffs.
Yeah,
fans deep down, but the club ain't going to say that. Johnny Jackson ain't going to think that. Johnny Jackson and the players think we're going to make the playoffs. They really want to make them playoffs. We've still got a chance of making them, so let's just go for it. Let's try and make the playoffs. If we end up making the playoffs and end up fucking winning them, too right, good. Do you know what I mean? I'm not one of these fans who go, oh, it's too soon to go up. No. If we go up, we go up. Let's go for it. But we have to go for it, though. We can't keep sitting back and playing two holding midfielders and stuff. Let's just, again, with the players we got, I don't know any other formation we can actually play at the moment.
But it's so hard, though, Lee, because I'm not disagreeing with you as a Wimbledon fan at all. But if you put yourself in a manager's job, if he tinkers around that squad and he loses six of the next eight, he's potentially on the coat hook. And that's the problem, I think, with why so many managers keep it so simple and stick with the same sort of stuff is because they're looking around thinking, I can't really tinker too much because there's no job security. And he's only been in the job a year. He had a poor start. We've had a great run. If he has another six games because he's played one holding midfielder and all of a sudden we lose four of them, people are going, oh, Johnny Jackson,
yeah, but
he's been lucky and it's hard.
If you're playing one holding midfield and you're getting spanked, I can't really get it. But if you're playing one holding midfield and you're going after teams, Wimbledon fans have always been that kind of fan that if we go after teams, we can see the players putting a shift in. We can see us actually putting effort in, having shot. Like, that's why I think people walked out of Orient and they weren't too disappointed. We've just been beaten 1-0 from one chance against a team at the top of the league and have that little bit better quality than us. But we went after them. We could have scored two or three. We could have scored a couple of goals. We didn't. We had a header back post. We could have scored at Orient. We didn't. I think Wimbledon fans are pretty going to go, right, we lost against Carlisle, but we went after Carlisle. They had that geezer who scored 17 goals and he scored a goal. Do you know what I mean? We're probably missing that 17-goal striker at the moment.
Of course. And but everyone's looking for
them. How do we know we haven't got it if we're not playing? If we're only playing Josh Davison up front on his own and asking
them? I totally agree. And maybe he is that guy. And if this guy played the same way that we are, he's probably not scoring 17. But
we have to find a way of playing two up front. Really do.
Okay. So Carlisle and Northampton, then what is... Carlisle and Northampton, give us some scores.
Because
for me, if Billa plays, I think Carlisle, we win.
I think I'm going to go 2-1 Wimbledon against Carlisle.
Yeah.
And I think Northampton will beat us 1-0. Because okay. we're tough to play against. We're tight at the back still. We're not going to concede loads of goals. I can't see us getting spanked or turned over. Watch us lose 4-0, 4-0 now. But we're still tight. We've still got the players there. Like, if Pierce has a bad game, Pierre can come in. We are still hard to play against, hard to score against. But we just got to try and find a way of scoring goals, Danny. And it ain't from set pieces.
No, what's your prediction? I reckon it's... I think we're going to beat Carlisle. In fact, bizarrely, before you even opened your mouth, I thought it'd be 2-1. I think we'll score. I think we'll win 2-1 on Saturday. But again, we're going to have. I think we're going to play a similar team, and I think Northampton will get a draw. So I'm going to go 2-1 and 1-1. The bigger problems we're going to have is we're going to be stuck. We're starting to go into 3 games a week for a decent amount of time because of the fixtures. And if you think we're going to have Carlisle, Northampton. And then we're going to have Hartlepool at home. We haven't got a lot of travel, but in those 3 games, we're going to start having the conversations. Is Woodyard going to be able to play 3 games? Is Davison going to be able to run for 3 games? I don't think he will. So I do expect us to see a bit of some rotation against Northampton. But I feel like we've got to, if we beat against Carlisle, I think we'll rotate a bit against Northampton. But I think Hartlepool as well, we're going to have to come back full guns blazing at Hartlepool.
I don't think the question is about Josh Davison over them games. I think the question might be Pierce. And that's why Pierre might then come in. Yeah. Maybe we might even see Pierre come in on Saturday against Carlisle because they're a tall team as well. Pierre's massive and Pierce can't play.
I'm not sure he'll play 3 in a week.
No, I think Josh...
To be fair.
Yeah, but then you put Little in and you got Marsh, you've got other players.
Again, Marsh is a drop-off, isn't it?
No, but then you've got McAteer still to come in. We forgot about him because he has...
Yeah, of course, yeah.
You know what I mean? So he's a young lad. You expect him to come in and play one of the games or it will be in amongst it. Our problem is up front. We've only got Josh Davison and Ali, and I can't see Ali doing the Josh Davison job on his own.
Definitely not.
He has to play in a two. And again, I keep saying it, we have to try and find a way of playing two up front. But I don't know what it is because I don't like 3-5-2. But with the players that we've got and the team I've selected, it's the only team you can play with three without. You can't put Brown in. You can't put Gunter in. There's no Ogundiri. Pearson can't play as a right wing back. If Bill is out, you're not putting Ogundiri in. You're going to have to play Yashimimi there. So... Right.
Another expert pronunciation to finish the podcast.
I can't pronounce names, mate.
Jayasimi. I reckon I'm wrong, by the way. I reckon I'm absolutely wrong with Jayasimi, but I'm consistent with the name, the way I'm saying it.
I reckon I'm right with Yashimi. I reckon he's half Japan. So, right.
I'm looking at him quickly while you're there.
That's it. That's it for another episode, then. I'd like to thank Gary Fletcher and our sponsors at Seasons Masters, the Bifold Doors and Secondary Glazing Experts. Hook them up. We have their details all over our graphics if you need anything. A big shout out to them. And yeah, Danny, it's been an absolute pleasure chatting to you.
I'm just getting Mrs. Baker to try and pronounce Jayasimi, but she's... There you go. She was like JLA, which she's in your cam, Lee, as usual.
Cool.
Go board masters and season masters, obviously.
Season master. But yeah, it's been another brilliant episode on the number one AFC Wimbledon podcast, the unofficial AFC Wimbledon podcast. Danny.
Yeah, you boys.
How are you, Dodds?
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Wombles Had a Dream podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Wombles Dream and on Facebook at the Wombles Had in Dream. Get involved. By the fans, for the fans.